listening to one in a series of presentations from the 2008 High Ed Web Conference in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, my name is Brian Smith. I'm a web developer, a.k.a. web flunky, at the University at Albany. I've been a web developer at UAlbany for 2 years, and before that I was webmaster at Siena College for about 5 years, and before that I worked in a TV station, things like that, all sorts of webified stuff. Today our objectives are we're going to move beyond meta tags, we'll talk about SEO, search engine optimization. We're going to talk about the special needs of SEO for higher education, because we're a little bit different than a lot of people who are doing SEO and writing books about it. We're going to define a lot of terms. I'm going to throw them around a lot today, and I don't just go around my office throwing around these terms every day, but I'm going to try to use them in context so you get an idea of what they mean. We're going to establish the factors. What are the factors that are going to move us up into higher up in search engines and their results? We're going to talk about keyword research techniques. We're going to discuss the 800-pound gorilla, which is Google. We're going to be keeping it real, we're going to be practical and for everybody here, and we're going to give some resources at the end so we know how to keep following it up. Basically, we want to give an overview today and put a lot of keywords out there so you can use these keywords and go out and do research on your own. Okay, the rise of search. Search is the number two most popular online activity after email, and the percentage of net users who use search on a typical day grew 70% from 2002 to 2008. That means things are really, really different now. And search is right at the core of it. And you can see search is right there, second to the right. Very, very popular. Okay, so we're going to define search SEO, search engine optimization, using targeted keywords and phrases. So a website's pages will rank higher on SERPs. This is a term that you hear a lot for in SEO books and things like this. Search engine result pages. You also may hear the term search engine marketing. The definition there is all endeavors that utilize search engines to promote a website, increase its traffic and/or stickiness, and ultimately augment return on investment. And this is obviously a term. This is obviously a definition coming from search engine marketers themselves. Mostly a lot of what they're doing is SEO, but it also includes paid placement, pay-per-click, and paid inclusion programs. But SEO people have an issue. And that's all this kind of crazy stuff that is associated with SEO now. And a lot of them are called snake oil salesmen and things like this because they use very aggressive marketing techniques. Well, a lot of them are really great, but you just have to really be careful with SEO. And this is an example of an email message that Google.com received. Dear Google.com, I visited your website and noticed that you are not listed in most of the major search engines and directories. So they've got kind of an issue. One of the problems with a lot of search engine optimization companies is they want to come in and do their stuff and then leave. Whereas SEO is really a best practice that all organizations have to get a hold of. So it has to include everybody in your web organization, including web developers, writers, editors in various departments, application developers, administration, and vendors. And I'd go one further step, and when you're doing training with people around campus, the people in the different organizations and departments, they have to understand the value of SEO and what search is to people today. So it really has to go out through your organization. It's a best practice, just like good coding or anything else. Okay, conversions. And higher ed is a little bit different from a lot of the organizations that are really specializing in SEO, who are trying to push out products. And we have a larger mission than that. Of course, we want to get our sale. We want to convert a prospective student into a confirmed student. But we have a lot more things that we need to do. We need to get students involved in activities. We need to build school pride. We have to provide audience for our experts. We have to allow faculty and research to publicize their findings. and which could lead to more funding. And we have to put out job postings. So there's a lot of different things that we have to do at higher education sites. And here's an example of something a little bit different that we're using a search engine for that a lot of product companies wouldn't. In 1998, we were ranked the number one party school in the United States. And we kind of made the list about 9 times. Our marketing people are not entirely happy about that. So this is Fountain Day. It's awesome. It happens every spring. They turn on the fountains when everything, the ice is kind of left and is gone, and people have a great big party. But there's problems with that a little bit. This was our SERP, our Google SERP, in June. And it talked about, just if you did a search on Fountain Day, number one, you had the Wikipedia article on Fountain Day, which we try to update, but we're not so happy that being the front one. We have a YouTube one in there. And then we have a Urban Dictionary definition of Fountain Day, which is a little bit different from ours. It's the party to end all parties at SUNY Albany, where a large fountain in the middle of campus gets turned on about 3 weeks before the end of school and everybody gets drunk. You going to Fountain Day? Yeah, I'm already drunk. So that's uncool. And then we're on this page here. We're associated with Vanilla Ice. And that's bad. That's really bad. So that's a fairly serious thing. So we used a lot of keywords. We got together as a group, our marketing department, and we kind of worked on our pages, and we were able to move our listing right up there to the top of the SERP. We got Fountain Day with the outstanding faculty and innovative curriculum, award-winning advisors. So we got all our keywords in there, nice stuff. So people, if they look into it now, they know we're a lot more boring than what the party school reputation. So we're off the party list now, too, which is good. And we've got some videos that we put in there for YouTube. So we've changed our look on the SERP. So this is kind of a different use of a search engine. We're kind of competing to get our message out against other messages in the SERPs. And that's something you could do in a lot of different departments and anything like this. So if you're starting to look at search engine results pages, you got 2 parts of the page. You got the organic listings, and then you got pay-per-click. And I'll start by talking about pay-per-click and maybe kind of the difference between them and what we should focus on. Pay-per-click is basically where advertisers bid on certain keywords, and then people pay, they're paid each time the sponsored link is clicked. So here are some terms you may hear in relation to that. We have cost per click, which is kind of pretty basic. And then you have the click-through rate, the number of users who actually clicked on an ad divided by the number of times the ad was delivered, or impressions, usually seen as a percentage. So a couple more definitions. Okay, we have a lot of competition for these pay-per-clicks. We have other universities. We have online universities like Phoenix and Capella, Walton. They spend a lot of money on pay-per-click. A lot of advertising agencies and online directory companies, they use pay-per-click, like Petersons.com, OffToCollege.com, CollegeBoard.com. So they're really competing for these pay-per-clicks. And you can see them on the right, where you have the sponsored clicks and you have all these different dot-coms, you'll notice, on the right. And even in the, you have the blue area here, that's also sponsored. And you have a couple of dot-coms over here. And you notice for college search, put into search engines, we don't even barely see an EDU up there. Here's a couple of examples of pay-per-clicks. And we have, even for some of the departments, we have collegeboard.com up there. And then for weekend MBA, you start getting a couple of different groups. But these are pay-per-clicks areas. Okay, here's Google AdWords. And this is where you actually go and bid on different terms. So here we put in biology major, library science, university in New York State. And you can kind of see what people are paying for the different pay-per-click, the cost they're bidding on. So library science was $2.83 per click. Biology major is $1.22. Something like online library science degree, That's 1146, and you can see the how online colleges really will kind of bid up the cost of that online degree term or anything associated with it. Okay, pay-per-click is growing in cost and price for popular keywords like associate's degree, master's degree, and business program on Yahoo have doubled in about the past 2 years. And you can see some of the more expensive ones here. We have business online program. It's a little over $10 per click. Associate's degree online, that's $16 per click. And the biggest one I see here is associate's online degree is $18 per click. So there's a lot of competitions for these words. When you're using Google AdWords in order to find out what keywords you could use in order to purchase them, you could also use filters. So a good idea is if you don't have an online program, you just chuck it in your filter on top. Okay, what some people are saying about PPC is it's both more expensive and less effective because more people are doing it. But there are some little techniques that you can use for pay-per-click and that would could possibly help you out. You could start a campaign at the end of the day or the end of a month when budgets have already been spent. So that's a good way to take advantage of lower bids at certain times of the day or year. And one good technique that you could use is bid on less popular words or phrases. You'll get less clicks, so it'll cost you less. But those who actually will click will likely lead to a conversion. So you're going to get what's really important, which is quality traffic. And so I think for our organization, we're starting to look at really competitive programs that we have, and we're going to advise them to start looking at pay-per-click because of the intense competition, and it will probably help them out most. But we're going to probably stay away from really organic, really generic search terms. Okay, next we're going to move on to organic listings, which are probably what everybody should focus 90% of their efforts on. You can see the organic listings are outlined in red here on the SERPs for Google and Yahoo. Okay, so this is how people are looking at SERP pages, and you can see this is a Google page, and everywhere there's a red impression that's they're getting a large number of clicks. And we have the organic area gets a real ton of clicks, and the pay-per-clicks only get a few. And you'll notice at the top there's a real drop-off rate. So you really want to compete for those top spots in search engine results pages because this is where the eyes go. And each little X there is a click. Okay. So this is some metrics on why you should focus on organic links, on organic listings, because the conversion rates are higher. One, and also organic links are clicked 5 times more than pay-per-clicks. So it really pays to focus on organic listings, which is great because it's nice and cheap, which should match budgets for the next couple years. Here we've got another way of looking at search engine results pages here. The average participant took 6.5 seconds to make their first click here. And they read about 4 to 5 listings. So it's really, really quick. That's why you want to really maximize your title page, which is in bold, at the top of all these listings, because you really have to compete. And you want to make that title really compelling so people will click, because you're really up against a lot of competition here. Okay, so a little wrap up here. 85% click on organic links. 72% click on the first link of interest, and 25% read all listings first and then click. So it kind of correlates with a lot of other research on the web where people don't read a whole lot. Here's the drop-off rate for position on SERPs. You have the first listing, the top listing gets really high, the first 3 or 4, and then there's a pretty good drop-off rate after number 3, which kind of correlates with that 6.5 seconds people are going to take on your page. Okay, the 800-pound gorilla of search, as probably everybody knows, is Google. They reached about 71% market share in this August. So Yahoo is also important, and it's good to keep an eye on them as well. Okay, what determines where you show up on search engine result pages? One of the most important things is the Google's page rank. It's one of the methods that the Google use to determine a page's relevance or importance. Each page, and not a site, has a page rank score. This was developed by Google, Sergey Brin, and Larry Page, with the founders of Google. And it's an algorithm which helps rank pages based on the probability that a random person surfing the internet will find a given page. And it relies a lot on linking. So it relies on the uniquely democratic nature of the web by using its vast structure as an indicator of an individual page's value. Google interprets a link from page A to page B as a vote by page A, and that's a vote for page B. Votes cast by important pages weigh more heavily and help to make other pages important. We have a really great advantage in this realm, in that Sergey Brin and Larry Page there, they were at Stanford when they developed PageRank, and we have a lot of page authority as EDU sites. We have tons of links coming to us already. We've been around for a number of years, so we have a great advantage over a lot of other different types of websites. If you want to check out the website for the page rank for a certain page, you load Google Toolbar and it'll show you, and it'll have a little page rank there on the right that's noted. Okay, and this is basically how EDU sites rank on the web. The most highest ones rank about 9, which is MIT, Stanford, and University of Albany ranks 7. University of Buffalo ranks 8. Maria College, which is a really, really small college in upstate New York, ranks 5. So we're going through about 5 through 8 or 9 page ranks. So because links are so important in determining page ranks, there's a couple things to know about how we use links. So this is good for developers here. I've got a couple bad examples towards the top. Not using www before mysite.com is something you'd want to try to avoid. You have in the second example over here is where there's an index.html at the end of it, where you'd want to just not use index.html at the end of it. You just use the root. And again, the number 3 doesn't use the www end. It uses the index.html, so that's very, very bad. Let's see here. We have a couple good examples over here. Use redirects to all internal links to point to your domain using the main site with using the slash at the end of it. That's something I never knew, but if you're going to use links to your site, you want to use a slash at the end of the directory, which is something I really didn't know until fairly recently. Okay, so this is a good thing to remember. Just using the www and not using the www at the beginning, they can be treated as two different sites. So it's just okay, and if we're going to be using link text, you got to be careful what you want to put in the link text, because that's super important. You want to put the noun in there and not the verb. For a long time, I kind of used some verbs, but best to use nouns, because that's what the search engines are going to be looking at. And of course, avoid click here. If you want to create a Google-friendly site, Google's really starting to get into giving people feedback on how to do that. Use Google Webmaster Help Center or Google on SEO. And you could look at the URLs there, but probably should just use Google. You may hear the term off-the-page SEO, which is also link building campaigns. That's when you work with a reciprocal linking. You use RSS news feeds. You could write good topical content. We could also use on other sites, you could use Dig and YouTube and Facebook and different forums. All that will link back to your site because those links are so important. So if you get a lot of different social networking sites and you link back, that's going to help your site's page rank and the position in SERPs. Okay, this is the search engine ranking factors version 2.0. version 2, and it's by SEOmoz.org. And SEOmoz.org is probably the one site you want to go to really learn about search engine optimization. They do it in a really easy, straightforward manner, and they've just got a lot of great stuff out there. So they get about 40 or 50 SEO people every couple years together, and they determine the factors that that Google uses. And now Google, they don't tell you exactly how to rank highly in their SERPs, and which is fine because those ranking factors may change over time, and as we know, our industry changes a lot. But so that's why SEO, Amaz tracks it every couple years. That's from their front page. Here's an example of the number one, top one, which is the keyword used in the title tag. Five is probably the highest rank you could get for SEOmoz, and they get 4.9. So it's absolutely the number one thing that you can do to improve your page ranks are title tags, beyond a doubt. And it's great because SEOmoz, they have a little discussion about them. So you could, if you have a question on a certain factor, you can go on SEOmoz and you'll hear back and forth about it. So it's kind of interesting. So we got our number one factor up here, keyword use and title tag, and we'll see just how important that is. The length of it should be 70 characters or less, because you're, you should use keywords and key phrases right in the title tag. Now, there's a little bit of a debate over whether you should put your organization name in the title tag, but I would say definitely do it because a lot of people are going to be searching for information, say, biology at University at Albany, and to have it in the title tag is going to be very, very important. A lot of people also seem to think that there are people just going to be searching biology, but in the case of higher university, I don't think that's quite as true. But in product searches, that's really, really true. And the page title, another reason why to want to put your university name in it is because, or college name, is because it's used for more than just SEO. It's for bookmark text, so if a kid is searching 20 different biology sites, he's going to have University at Albany biology site in there, favorites, because the title tag is going to be in your favorites or in your bookmarks. It also answers the question that Jacob Nielsen brings up all the time is, where am I? So here I am at the Department of Biology at the University of Albany in the tag, and that makes me feel safe and secure. Okay, here's a really, really crappy page that is on our site that really, really ranks high in search engines for a number of reasons. But it's a really crappy page, and it's really old. But this will tell us what ranks really high. Hurricane facts at our meteorology school or whatever, or department. If you look up hurricane facts on Google, this is the number one page you'll find. And there's a number of reasons for that. Even though it's like an old page, it's like 5 years old, 7 years old. And this is why that crappy page ranks so highly, because it uses the keyword uses the keyword in the title tag. It has global popularity, link popularity, or weight or authority, because SUNY Albany has got that authority that I mentioned before. The age of the site, it's old. The keyword use in the body text, it's all over. There's an in-page navigation, which has links to all the different parts of the page. And that's fantastic, because those are all keywords that are going to be heavily used by Google to determine what your page is all about. Age of the document, keyword use in H1, text surrounding link, it all works, even though it's a crappy page. And you can see some of the good stuff they do. They got hurricane facts right in the title. They got all this really garbagey kind of text code here, but it works. So here's our other listings here of the important things for search engine ranking factors. And you could really, you'll want to review these and know these, because this is what's going to get your results. Okay, keyword use and meta description tag. Where this is important is this is going to show up in your little description tag in Google. You could go about 70 words, because that's about the number of words that Google uses, and make it page specific, and that includes main key phrases, so about 70 words for your description. HTML validation, it means very little. Here's the crappy page validated. It doesn't validate at all. It's 18 errors. So validation doesn't mean all that much. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, but. Keyword use in meta tags, that's something people used to talk about a lot, but it's not really important anymore. Whatever happened to keyword meta tags? I mean, if you were around 10 years ago, that was like really it. But they've been abused and discredited. All those different SEO people and other organizations, they would pack keywords into it, and all sorts of porn sites and things like that. They packed faked keywords into different sites, so that worked out badly. So, but there are things that you can use your keywords meta tag for, and that's for anything that you don't want to appear in your page text, like misspellings or keyword forks. Like the name of our university is University at Albany, so which is a kind of a tricky name, which almost nobody uses. Almost everybody calls us SUNY Albany. So we don't want it to appear on the page, so we'll stick it in the keyword tags. Remember not to repeat too much, because that can get you blacklisted. Here's some things to remember when you're creating pages. No more than 150 kilobytes, because that could get you dropped off of search engines. No more than 100 unique links per page, which is going to be tough for your A to Z page. For your title tag, no more than 70 characters. A meta description, no more than 155 characters. Here's something I didn't know before. We're doing a bit of the research. The number of parameters in your URL, no more than 2. That could be an issue. So if you are creating dynamic pages or something like that, it's something you should consider. You should be careful with and check your SERPs for those different pages that have more than 2 parameters in the URL. Also, the depth of the URL. So if you have like a really buried page in a folder within a folder within a folder within a folder, that page may not show up on a SERP, so be careful of that. You want to keep it keep your site more flat than really deep. Okay, there are other things to avoid for search engines that will possibly get you dropped out of a SERP pages. Any kind of image text without alt tags. Iframes for displaying content could be trouble. Flash, Silverlight, or video content without text equivalents, that could be rough. But probably nobody's using Silverlight anyway. Ajax, you could avoid. Navigation that relies on JavaScript. So that's any kind of link within it that says on click navigate. That could be a problem. That could be an issue. And some people use it for different kind of tracking and things like that. You just got to be careful. And make sure that you're appearing in SERPs the way you want to. Okay, keywords are the foundation of SEO. Your institution, departments, and offices should all determine these critical keywords, and they should all be participating in the process of determining what your keywords are. And then you have to research the potential value and effectiveness of those keywords using keyword search tools. Okay, so the first thing you want to do is get a group together. You're going to brainstorm your keywords. Then you're going to bust out the tools, and then you're going to finalize a list, you're going to implement, and then you're going to rinse and repeat. Okay, brainstorm. You've got to figure out, of course, what would prospective students use, or all those other groups that we're talking about that are so important that are beyond just our sale of prospective students. You've got to make sure, what are those people looking for? We want to avoid generic terms, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to check out competition for keywords and add location. If you want to improve the effectiveness of your keywords, use location. It's really important for prospective students because a lot of people are searching for universities in New York State or universities in the Northeast. So location is always an easy way to increase some of your keyword effectiveness. Try to get your misspellings in there. And you have breakout sessions by category, department, school, and organization. Get everybody involved. Okay, the number of keywords that people are using. This is Search Engine Watch 2007. And it says here 32% of people use 2 words when they're using search. I've heard recently that it's changed to 3. And what that means to me is that not only search engines are evolving, but we're evolving too. Like people, their use of search engines are evolving. People are getting to understand and how to use search engines to find exactly what they want. So they're using more keywords in there to be more precise. And that has an effect on how we use keywords. So I've been using keywords a lot, but the real key is key phrases. Short phrases that are going to match about three words, but two words is also popular. So three words and two words, that's 50% of all searches. So that's going to be a little hint about what we should use, what kind of phrases we should come up with. So we're going to want to use these key phrase combinations. We're going to create little short sentences if possible, and then we're going to use those short sentences in our body tags, in our title tags, in our body text, and we're going to use those as key phrases. We're going to specifically describe page content, use the strongest keywords and phrases, and we're going to avoid highly competitive phrases, which I've been kind of saying over and over again, but is important. So, and we want to use what everybody else is using. Are students looking for prospective students? Are they using that term? Absolutely not. They're using stuff like university admissions. That has an effect about what we're going to put in our nav. So we used to use prospective students in our nav. So in our new redesign, that's gone. We use admissions now. So we're kind of changing the way we use keywords, and we're going to use keywords in navigation because those links are so important, like I mentioned before, in determining Google PageRank. Keyword stemming, this is an important thing to know when you're brainstorming. Swim equals swimming equals swims. It's all the same to major search engines, pretty much. Keyword brainstorms. So we got together in our group, we just figured out what do we want for to use for our key phrases for Fountain Day to change that evil SERP that we had before. So we put pretty much everything we could find, and we got people together and got a good big brainstorming. So we got our big list together. But now that we have all those different terms, we have to evaluate each of those terms to figure out how important they're going to be. Are people using those terms? And that's what we're going to use keyword phrase tools for. Okay, so we're going to find out what our visitors are using to get to sites. The first thing that you could use is our analytics programs, like search, and use our top search queries. Okay, here's a term that you hear in SEO a lot now, and that's head terms versus tail terms. What's the difference? Okay, so a ton of people use these head terms to get to our site, and then there's this long trail of a bunch of search terms that people use that aren't used quite as much, but it's such a long tail that these less general terms are very, very important. Okay, so 65% of people who got to our site, according to Google here, were using these brand key phrases like SUNY Albany and University at Albany, UAlbany, regular old Albany, my old Albany. So that's 65% of our queries. So we're definitely going to want to use some of those, but we're going to want to use not only those head queries, but also tail queries. So the head terms are dominated by brand key phrases. They're going to drive most of your traffic, but they're going to be most expensive for PPC. And they're also going to be less valuable to some extent for organic searches. They're very competitive, and they're somewhat less relevant in the fact that they're going to be less specific and they're shorter. So all sorts of things like UAlbany and are general terms like this. Okay, long tail terms are dominated by category key phrases. It drives the least amount of traffic per search, but it's also least expensive for pay-per-click programs. It's less competitive and easier to win. So you could use a short, specific phrase, and that's going to be cheaper, and it's going to be more effective on organic searches as well. It drives less traffic, but it's more qualified traffic, and that's what we really want, really quality traffic. Okay, so we're going to look a little bit about keyword research tools, and what we're looking for is that less competition. Okay, here's a list of some tools that are very popular. We got Google AdWords, which is probably the best free key phrase tool, but there are new tools coming out all the time, so keep an eye on those. Word Tracker is the industry standard. It's a pretty expensive program, but it's a lot more specific than Google AdWords, and it gives you a lot more percentages and things that you could really use. The Overture database search was once really popular, but it's no longer consistently available online. And Microsoft Ad Center is also another one that you could use, but it's not for Mac. I know a lot of people here are into Mac. Okay, here's a list of other keyword search tools, and there's quite a few of them. Okay, and this talks a little bit about what Word Tracker uses. It basically uses information from Google, Yahoo, and MSN, so it has a huge database to work from. Here's the term that we determine our key phrase effectiveness with, which is a keyword effectiveness index. The higher the KEI, the better the keyword. And it's the ratio of two variables, popularity, the number of times a certain term is searched, and competition, the number of pages returned for a search term. Okay, here's an example of how we use KEI to figure out what niche we're going to work on. Okay, say you're selling baseball cards, and you have Pete Rose baseball cards, and you have Derek Jeter baseball cards, and you're trying to figure out which ones do I want to sell online. Well, Pete Rose is searched 100 times a day, and it's found on 1,000 pages, so the ratio is 1 in 10. The Derek Jeter baseball card, searched 1,000 times daily, and found on 100,000 pages, ratio is 1 in 10. So we're going to want to focus on the Pete Rose baseball card, because the ratio is 1 in 10. So we could, that's kind of like a really basic example, but we're going to use it in a higher ed setting. So here's Keyword Tracker, and I mentioned it's, Word Tracker is all kind of an expensive tool, but it gives you that KEI, and you'll notice that some really specific searches have a really high KEI, like questions for grad schools. Albany State University graduate programs, really great KEI. So these are the words that we're going to use, the phrases that we're going to use. And then there's a drop-off here, so we're not going to use these as much. And here's a term that people probably use a lot, business grad schools. Okay, so its KEI is really low, even though a lot of people are going to use it. So if we want to use really effective keywords, we're going to use our tools to find out which ones are most effective. Okay. And of course, these terms could also be helpful with brainstorming. You know, AdWords is very good for that. AdWords versus Ad Tracker. AdWords is free. AdWords versus Word Tracker. So a lot of people are going to be using AdWords. I think I've have to wrap it up, so I'm going to move forward a little bit quickly. But this is kind of a process you would use in order to research your key phrases. So you got your big list from brainstorming, and you go to AdWords, and it's a free account for AdWords on Google, so you could just basically use it for free. And so first we put in a descriptive word or phrase, and I put in business school. Okay, so I scroll through this big list of results that I get when I search, and they're going to be all down here. And then I'm going to keep on adding them and getting more related keywords by clicking that, and I kind of build up a list slowly of all the different terms. I'm going to see the list down here. I'm just going to click add for each ones that are really popular, and I'm going to build up my list. Okay, I'm going to repeat this process, and I'm going to also include other pages on my site linked from this URL. So you could add a URL to your business school and see what keywords you have in there. And then they're going to give you a list. And some of the more effective ones are going to be like a full green bar. And then the less effective ones are going to have less green in them. Okay, so I got my big list from Google AdWords. And I'm going to break them out into categories. And these are the ones that I'm actually going to use on our page, on our different pages to maximize the page. So when we actually get to the writing part, we're going to write for the inverted pyramid, meaning that we're going to put our really, really important search terms up at the top, and we're going to make the page visible on the text and make it nice and search friendly. We're going to embed links in the body copy. We're going to add strong tags around our keywords on a page. And we're going to add captions with strong keywords and phrases frequently. Okay, here's a page that we had to do because it was just big blocks of text. And that Google's not going to like that, and it has a hard time understanding what the page is about. So this is where you want to get your writers in. Our writers have been really great. We got them into the process early in spring. And now we kind of wanted to make our writers the people who are in charge of SEO writing. And they really got on board for it, and they really improved the sites quite a bit. So we're going to use a lot of keywords. We're going to create a lot of A to Z indexes for all the different groups. So you may have a school, and you're going to want to have an A to Z index for your school, because that's going to have all your keyword links in there and all those different terms. And it's going to point to all your important pages. So A to Z indexes are really important. There's a lot of links in there. Now, here's an issue that you come up against. You want to write more, because that's going to add keywords in there. But the problem with that is people like Steve Krug are telling us to write less. So we kind of have to find a happy medium. Sometimes you can have less on a page but add extra pages. And you can add extra pages by using press releases or YouTube videos on the topic. But never sacrifice tone or feel or usability, because that's really the most important thing. I'm going to skip this. It's a little eye tracking studies by Poynter Institute, which shows that people are still willing to read long text on the internet. In fact, they're more willing to read long text on the internet than they are on newspapers. And that's because once they've searched through 20,000 articles by using Google, they get to that one article that they really want to read. So people will read more on the web. So that 250 words, you know, that shouldn't be too bad. Most surprising, they read further into stories online than print. Okay, so measuring success. One way you can do it with screenshots and Excel files to show where you actually listed on your SERPs for all those important pages. And then you're going to follow the traffic through web analytics. Okay? Any questions or... Yeah, I would say that it is. I think it should be the topic of the actual page you get to. I think the H1 should be your title of the first paragraph on the page, ideally, is right at the top of the content of your page. So yeah, I wouldn't, unless it could be part of the H1, but I wouldn't use it as the H1 for every page. Although it should go in your title. And it's more important in your title anyway. If you need that leverage.
We're using Red Dot as our content management system.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't use Taxonomy Manager, so I really can't. I'm not sure, but what we do is, and when we're using Red Dot, is we build in our meta tags right into it, our keywords and our descriptions, and we build it in to the template. So the editors know they're there and they should be using them. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Thank you very much.
Web conference, visit highedweb.org/2008 or sign up for our podcasting feed at highedweb.org/podcast.xml.